You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a Tuesday, everybody, May 10th, and a Wednesday, May 11th. It's another edition of Locked On Lions on the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Derry with you. What's happening, everybody? Thank you for listening and making us your first listen each and every day. Coming up on the show today, our friends from Pro Football Focus are back on the show today. Their director of content, co-host of the Tailgate Show, the great Austin Gale, going to join me. Remember, Austin was on a couple of weeks ago, and he hosted the four-part podcast series called Hutch. Way before the Lions actually snagged Aiden Hutchinson, we'll get Austin's thoughts on Aiden coming to Detroit, what he thinks of the entire draft of the Lions, and all that coming up momentarily on the program. Also, optimism in Vegas over one of the Lions' brass, and some talk on Good Morning Football last week, praising the Lions even more. It's a love fest nationally for your Detroit Lions. We'll discuss today coming up on this very show. You can follow me on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, and also you can get the podcast and your comments always welcome on the Matt Derry Facebook fan page. Turner Batdorf, one of my followers on Twitter, good guy Turner, sent me a tweet from yesterday from a guy named Max Meyer, who was talking about NFL notes at the Caesars Sportsbook, at Caesars Sports. And Meyer writes, quote, Dan Campbell has nearly tripled the tickets and double the money as anyone else to win the NFL Coach of the Year this year. Odds shifted from 60 to 1 to 25 to 1 in the past week. What? Wow. 60 to 1 down to 25 to 1. At Caesars Sports. Now, the favorite to win the NFL Coach of the Year this coming year is Brandon Staley of the Chargers, followed by Nathaniel Hackett, who is at 16 to 1 odds. Nathaniel Hackett, now the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. Then you've got Kyle Shanahan, Brian Daboll, Mike McDaniel, Josh McDaniels, a lot of the new coaches. Kevin Stefanski, Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, Kevin O'Connell, Zach Taylor, Mike Vrabel, Bill Belichick at 22 to 1, Sean McDermott, Nick Sirianni, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, Ron Rivera, John Harbaugh, and Dan Campbell, all tied at 25 to 1 odds. Now, again, you know, people can put money down right now and put lots of it down and change the odds. This is constantly, you know, ever-flowing, ever-changing. But Dan Campbell up there right now at 25 to 1 odds with the likes of John Harbaugh, Ron Rivera, Matt LaFleur, Sean McVay, Nick Sirianni, and Sean McDermott all tied as money. Heavy steam coming in on Dan Campbell. So his odds once started at 60 to 1, now down to 25 to 1. Not sure who's putting this money down, and not sure if I necessarily agree with something like this, because if you take a look at what the season progressed last year, at the start of the year, we were kind of scratching our heads, including yours truly, who's been hosting this podcast now for 6 years. And I said, I'm not sure I know what Dan Campbell is as a head coach when it comes to X's and O's. He looked like a rookie a lot of times. The fourth and one calls with running plays, Jared Goff, one time tried a read option play, pitch outs, fourth and one, and they were in the shotgun with five wide receivers and no running back there to protect Jared Goff. There were things that the Lions did last year that I went, does this head coach know what the hell he's doing? But yes, by the end of the year, you saw how hard they played. You saw how engaged the players were with him. You saw some wins, and you saw some improvement. To sit here and say that he is going to win the Coach of the Year next year would mean that the Lions would probably have to win like 9 to 10 games and go from 3 wins to 9 wins for something like that to take place. There's a reason why Brandon Staley's the favorite. Many feel like the Chargers are going to take a giant leap this year. and that Staley will learn from his mistakes from a year ago. Many think the Broncos, now that they've got their coach in Nathaniel Hackett, the former Packers offensive coordinator, they're going to take a big step. They're going to have Russell Wilson. They're going to have a real coach, and they're going to make a run. But Dan Campbell going from 60-1 to 25-1 is certainly interesting. And again, it poses the question, how is all this optimism surrounding this Detroit Lions team? I'm excited for what the Lions are doing. They are going in the right direction. Brad Holmes has done well so far. But I'm not sitting here ready to crown them just yet. Somebody else apparently is ready to crown Dan Campbell because nearly triple the tickets and double the money as anybody else to when Coach of the Year belongs to Dan Campbell. Again, fluid could change, but there you go. People are excited to see what he's going to do in year two and how much better this football team is going to get. Now, Tom Pelissero, he of the NFL Network, was on Good Morning Football at the end of last week and basically said that the most improved team in the NFL next year, based off of the draft, was the Detroit Lions. Pelissero said, quote, "How often does an NFL team walk away with maybe the best offensive player and the best defensive player in the draft?" Pelissero, of course, was referring to Aiden Hutchinson and the great Jameson Williams. Pelissero went on to say, quote, "Two huge needs for the Lions. Hutchinson will bring the attitude they want to bring to the defense this year. Williams, obviously, they had no receivers a year ago. Two big pickups for them. They were aggressive doing it." So which team improved themselves most in the draft? The Good Morning Football morning show on NFL Network, Peter Schrager said the Jets, Torrey Smith said the Eagles, Kay Adams said the Ravens, and Tom Pelissero said the Lions. So there you go. More buttery goodness for Detroit. The only thing people are not happy about right now, apparently there's like experts saying, Josh Pascal is slow off the ball at Kentucky. If that's the biggest concern from this offseason, then the Lions may be or would be in decent shape. So far, so good here in this offseason for Detroit. So a lot of people like what Brad Holmes has been doing. We shall see. All right, we're going to talk to Pro Football Focus's Director of Content, Austin Gale, coming up next. First, I want to tell you about our partners at BetOnline. They continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs going on tonight, Major League Baseball, fights, and even next season's NFL futures at BetOnline.net. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and much more. Head to the website today. I did so over the weekend. I put some money down on the Kentucky Derby. It was not a good scene, but hey, we had fun. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. It's BetOnline, and it is where the game starts. As promised, PFF Director of Content and co-host of the Tailgate Show, and of course the host of the four-part podcast series, Hutch, about Aiden Hutchinson, Austin Gale from Pro Football Focus, our guest today. What's up, Austin?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Good to see you again, buddy. How you been?
I'm excited to take vacation here. I always view May as this opportunity, right, to actually take some vacation. The offseason doesn't start until after the draft. So looking forward to a beach and a beer here soon.
We're very nice. Well, you guys were all over the draft, certainly. But I had you on weeks ago before Aiden Hutchinson became a Detroit Lion. But man, I know you're not stunned that he landed here, and what a story this is becoming, huh?
Yeah, I was, you know, my initial reaction was not surprised that the Detroit Lions rushed the card in, right? He is one of the best players, if not the best player in this draft. He's a Michigan native, and to have that type of player and that type of talent, that type of character in your locker room and what's already building as a high character, bought in type of culture in Detroit, it was an obvious pick. And then the other reaction I had was like, man, this is so awesome for his family. If you listen to Hutch, the four-part podcast series, they've gone to every game. Like his mom, his dad, his sisters have gone to every game, even dating back to his high school career at Divine Child there in Michigan. So it's huge for the Hutchinson family. It's huge for Aiden, and obviously a massive benefit to Detroit Lions for what they're building.
I know you talked to him so much in putting the podcast together. Have you had a chance to catch up at all after he was drafted?
I kind of let him enjoy the moment, right? I texted him and said, you know, congratulations. And, you know, I bought a jersey. I'm excited to rep it, maybe go out there for their home opener.
Look at you. You're all in. I love it. I love it. Tell me about the fit from a football standpoint, Austin, and what you think of that.
I'm really excited at the depth the Detroit Lions have along the defensive line. They're going to have him play with his hand in the ground, which I think is way better than, you know, his hand up. I was talking to his agent, Mike McCartney. He's really excited to get him in a four down front, right, where his hand's in the ground. He's able to, you know, play from that stance, that 3-point stance. And they have a lot of rotational depth at edge and interior defensive line. Lee McNeil, Levi Muzurike, Michael Brockers, John Pinacini. They've invested a ton there. And then you look at edge. They like Charles Harris. They like the Okwara brothers. They obviously have Josh Pascal, the rookie they drafted in the second round of Kentucky. Like, you should be really excited for this defensive line in Detroit. If it's not the best defensive line, I think it's one of the deepest in the NFL. And I think they've made it very, very obvious that they want to invest in the trenches, both offensively and defensively. And they've done that wholesale.
And that's what I was going to ask you. We're talking to Austin Gale from PFF. A good follow-up here is, you know, I don't think – if he's not on the field for a couple of third downs, it's not the end of the world. It's like, oh, wait a minute, he's a bust. If early on he's rotating, because like you said, it's almost like Brad Holmes is collecting edges right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's rotational, but I also could imagine that he gets kicked inside on late downs, right? I mean, he has that inside outside versatility. He's played at 275 plus, right? I know he got down to 260 to play stand up outside linebacker for Michigan and drop into coverage, but I wouldn't be surprised if they ask him to play closer to 265, 270, right? And kick him inside and do these different things. Like, he has a lot of the same positional versatility that Josh Pascal has, who can play inside outside and did a lot of that at Kentucky as well.
Austin Gale with us from Pro Football Focus. You mentioned Aiden Hutchinson too on the field, off the field. You and I kind of touched on it before, but now it's going to come to fruition. I mean, they're going to ask him to do a lot. Is he, you know, hey, we're going to need you to cut this video. We're going to need you to be, you know, take some extra pictures. You from all the talking that you did with him, he's probably okay with it, right?
100%. I mean, he is one of the hardest working people I've ever met on and off the field. And I think he's perfect for, you know, what they need in terms of a focal point as a leader, right? I think he's going to come in and be the face of the franchise. And he isn't going to shy away from the extra pressure that comes with that, right? He was the face of Michigan last year. He was the guy that helped them name the 9-on-7 drill, the beat Ohio State drill. He was the guy that at those Michigan media days before the season, who brought up Ohio State, who said, I'm coming back to beat the Buckeyes. And there aren't a lot of Michigan, you know, players that were doing that preseason, given how lopsided that rivalry was. Like, he is very much genuine in what his pursuits are and will wear that on his sleeve, which is exactly what I think you need to face the franchise to be.
Some of your buddies, including Mike Renner, who we've had on the show, just loved the move up to get Jameson Williams at 12. What was your reaction?
Yeah, I don't think they gave up a lot, right? They gave up the 34th overall pick to essentially move up from 32 to 12, a 20-spot jump in the first round. And then they also moved up from 66 to 46, a 20-spot jump on day two. To give up just a 34th overall pick to do so, I think is wildly impressive, right? So I'm really impressed with what Brad Holmes did there. And I think they got, while Jameson Williams is obviously hurt and we don't know when his rehab process will complete to a point where he can play, one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in this class. He moves differently. He offers different speed. And say he does miss the first 8 weeks of the season due to injury or whatever it may be, they're setting up for the future, right? They're investing in the trenches for the future for when they do get their long-term answer at quarterback. And when his, you know, Jared Goff salary is off the books, they're able to be, you know, competitive, deep postseason competitive with a culture that has, you know, 3 years of roots. And then also, you know, a lot of talent that they've added at other positions.
Want to talk more with Austin about this draft class. He mentioned Josh Pascal, and he brought up the key phrase, quarterback. We're going to do that coming up next. First, I want to tell you, though, about rockauto.com. Save time and save money when using Rock Auto. You want to look for auto parts. Stop going to the store. Stop looking at other websites. Don't even go to the one that starts with A. Go to rockauto.com. You got a computer. You got that phone in your pocket. Take it out and see that you're going to save so much money when you shop at rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or even a car dealership? Don't do it. Go to rockauto.com. They've got everything you need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. and their prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, folks. You know it. It is rockauto.com. Our man Austin Gale with us from Pro Football Focus, PFF.com, also the co-host of the Tailgate Show, and the man that hosted the four-part series. If you haven't listened to it yet or even watched it on YouTube, you got to do it, of Hutch with Aiden Hutchinson and all the great interviews and insights that you got from now, your number two overall, Aiden Hutchinson. Please do that. All right, rest of the draft class, Austin. People seem to like it for the Lions. Anything that stood out to you right away that kind of jumps out at you?
Yeah, I hinted at it a little bit, but I really liked the Josh Pascal pick. Like, I think Josh Pascal is a phenomenal value with where they got him. I think he was an underrated player in this draft class. To get him at 44, we like that pick a lot. I think he has an inside-outside versatility, and I am a fan of a guy that could win in the SEC, and he did that, right? He was more productive in the SEC than Trayvon Walker was and played a very similar role in that he was 270-plus pounds and played up head up or inside the tackle a lot more than traditional edges do. I like that pick a lot. And then Kirby Joseph, I think you could argue, has the best ball skills of any of the safeties in this class. Like, he was really, really talented at Illinois, attacking the football in the air. He has really good length for the position. I think he's a box player in the NFL. I don't love his range as much as some of the other safeties in this class, but I do think in the box, when you ask him to, attack the ball and go against tight ends, I think he can be that kind of equalizer for you. He was a, top 10 safety in this class, and we had him actually valued at 73rd overall in this draft. To get him at 97, that's another value. For day three, some of these picks are kind of bets, right? Malcolm Rodriguez was really productive at Oklahoma State, but really undersized. I worry about that a little bit. And then Chase Lucas, again, these are flyers, right? When you're drafting, I often say that the draft is 140 picks long. Picks after that, you're taking priority on drafted free agents and taking big bets on really flawed players. I think they did that, but how they approach their top 140 picks was really, really impressive. And I think you should be really excited if you're a Detroit Lions fan looking at what they came back with.
Everybody's going to say, if N'Kobe Dean plays well for Philly and Pascal is a rotational guy here and doesn't really flash much, why didn't they take N'Kobe Dean? I'm sure you and your cohorts at PFF have been trying to figure that one out for the last couple of weeks. Really. Lions weren't the only team, right, Austin, that passed on?
No. And I think a lot of teams are probably going to be upset at how good N'Kobe Dean turns out, right? A lot of teams passed on him for medical concerns. And I think that's more to say about team process than it is about Dean as a player, right? There are teams that take players completely off their board, not move them down, not any of that, if there are injury concerns that their medical team or their doctors don't agree with. And that is how N'Kobe Dean falls as far as he did, right? There are teams that, if he, we view him as a first round player, but he has this injury, we're not going to draft him even if he's there in the seventh. That, I think, is process that probably the league needs to go away from, because that's how you end up with values like N'Kobe Dean. Even if he doesn't play all of next season for Philly and takes a redshirt year, essentially as a medical redshirt or whatever it may be, I still think if you can get a fully healthy N'Kobe Dean in his second year, he's going to be a value versus where he was picked in the third round.
You mentioned before about quarterback, and you said, hey, eventually, especially with Jamison Williams and not knowing when he's going to come back, he says he's coming back right away. We'll have to see, but not having that franchise guy, that maybe they think Jared Goff is, maybe he has a great year and stays, he could go. But what did you think of Detroit not even touching the quarterback market in any round?
I wasn't super surprised by it after the draft, right? I think we saw really quickly that the NFL was lower on this quarterback class than where media saw it. I think the take I have is that if Pittsburgh, weren't in the situation they were with Kevin Colbert in his last year as a GM and him wanting to leave with a quarterback selection, I don't think we see quarterback come off the board until the Steelers pick it in the second round at 52 with Kenny Pickett. Like, the NFL was low on this quarterback class. A lot of quarterback needy teams passed on quarterback until the third round. I think Pickett falls that far as well if the Steelers aren't locked into kind of ending on a fadeaway jumper with Kevin Colbert there as the GM. And for Detroit, it's not wrong to avoid quarterback here. I think you're looking ahead to 2023. You're looking ahead to potentially veteran options on the move, more so than you're looking to evaluate a quarterback in what was objectively a bad class.
And, I know Todd McShay did this. He sort of just went by the odds and said, all right, if we're going to do a way too early mock for next year, the Lions will pick second based on odds. and get Bryce Young. But I think people in Detroit would tell you if this team's picking second again, that's not going to work. I know it's a rebuild. No, I'm not here telling you they're going 9-8, but if they're going to pick second again, that means only won 3 or 4 games again.
I agree. I think the Detroit Lions, if I'm betting the Lions, I'm betting over their win total. Right. And I think DraftKings set it at 5.5. This is too talented of a roster at this point and too much consistency on the sideline. You look at some of the other like teams that are going to be contending for the number one overall pick. Atlanta, you know, I think it's going to be a concerning team. Houston has a new coaching staff. Jacksonville has a new coaching staff. That's where I think you're going to be more likely to see teams. You know, Giants have a new coaching staff. That's where you're going to be more likely to see, I think, some of these teams tank out. Whereas Detroit, with consistency, I think it's more likely that Detroit clears that 5-6 win mark and then finds themselves drafting still inside the top 10, but not in prime contention for Bryce Young.
Final thing, just outlook. You mentioned before about 6.5 wins, it's gone up, which is interesting for Detroit. But as you handicap the division, I think the Bears are also sitting at 6.5. So there are those in Vegas that believe Detroit could finish third this year. How do you look at it?
Yeah, I think they do finish third. I think it's Green Bay's division to lose. They're -175 to win that division. I think Minnesota's at +280. I see it as a 2-horse race. Does it, the underdog better in me want to think Detroit is involved? Sure. But I think it's Green Bay and Minnesota that ultimately win this division. Green Bay, the heavy favorite for good reason. And I would be stunned if Chicago did finish third, right? This is a team that isn't a new coaching staff that does have a objectively worse receiving core than Detroit does. Do I like their quarterback prospect a lot? Sure, but their offensive line isn't good. And defensively, they lost Khalil Mack this offseason. I worry a lot about the Chicago Bears, and I think they're going to be another team that's going to be drafting inside the top 5 next year.
Austin, great to see you. Thanks so much for coming on, as always. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Austin Gale, PFF Director of Content, co-host of The Tailgate, and of course, the host of the Hutch 4 Series podcast, Pro Football Focus. Check it out on YouTube. Also, if you want to watch the video side or download it wherever you get your podcast, it's a great listen. We're back again tomorrow. Thanks for making us your first listen here on Locked On Lions.